what it really is a massive grab, land grab, ocean grab this time. There, where mega corporations, multinational corporations are going after the resources, and they're going to designate large portions of the ocean as no-go zones.
You're listening to The Corbett Report.
Welcome, friends. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com, and I am coming to you on April 22nd, 2016, aka a date that might live in future infamy. People may not have heard about this, and there probably won't be a lot of fanfare, but today is the date that in New York, they are going to have the formal signing of the Paris Climate Agreement that was reached in Paris, France, in December of last year. That will, in many ways, set the tone and the future of the development of the $90 trillion plus of energy infrastructure development that's going to take place over the next few decades. And that is all being done, well, not so quietly. It was done to great fanfare, but as I say, the signing ceremony that's going on today probably will not be in the news headlines. But it is of concern to us for today's conversation, because we're going to be talking about issues surrounding the greater agenda under which, under whose umbrella this Paris Climate Agreement falls. And one example of that, of course, is the UN 2030 agenda, which we did talk about a little bit last year when it was rolled out at the United Nations General Assembly last September. But this, of course, is a development of what was formerly Agenda 21 and is just a furtherance of the same goals for the same ends. And we're going to be talking about another aspect of this, not the Paris Climate Agreement, but a different United Nations push that is ongoing at the moment. And this relates to something called Resolution 69-292, a.k.a. Development of an International Legally Binding Instrument under the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea on the Conservation and Sustainable Use of Marine Biological Diversity of Areas Beyond National Jurisdiction. One wonders why these types of UN General Assembly resolutions don't get a lot more media play. Maybe it's because they're hitting behind gobbledygook like that. But here to break down the gobbledygook of this type of resolution is someone who has done a great video on this this matter in particular that I will direct your attention to. The video is called UN 2030 Agenda Continues, the plan to take over one half of the world with one move. And the person in question is Spiros Skouras, who has been on the program before. I hope you'll know him. If not, please do check out his YouTube channel. Link in the show notes as always. Spiro, thank you for joining us today on the Corbett Report.
Thank you for having me, James. It's great to be here.
All right, that was a long-winded introduction, but perhaps you can cut through some of the gobbledygook that that we're talking about here. As I say, this UN General Assembly resolution is not very easily parsable from its title. Tell us what this resolution is about.
Well, this is one portion of the 2030 agenda. And like as you said earlier, the 2030 agenda was rolled out at the end of last year in Manhattan, New York, at the UN headquarters there. Now, this new portion that is being rolled out is going after the oceans. They've already used sustainable development. They're rolling out the climate change aspect of it. And this is geared towards that climate initiative that they're looking to push. And what it is it's a far-reaching initiative by this UN that is being brokered and negotiated with closely by the Obama administration to what they say, quote unquote, to preserve biological resources. But what it really is a massive grab, land grab, ocean grab this time, where mega corporations, multinational corporations are going after the resources, and they're going to designate large portions of the ocean as no-go zones.
So tell us about who is involved in this, because of course the idea here that is given to the general public is that these types of UN General Assembly resolutions are being administered by angels descended from heaven to rule over the world benevolently. But oddly enough, there are some interesting organizations that are on board with this resolution and its attempt to create these no-go areas in the oceans. So tell us about some of the groups that are behind this.
Well, one of the main players in this is the National Resource Defense Council, the NRDC. Now, they work as a squadron of 33 environmentalist groups known as the High Seas Alliance. Well, this Natural Resource Defense Council has somewhat of a a shady background when you start to look into their funding. I mean, they always say follow the money, right? Well, of course, they're being funded by hedge fund billionaires such as George Soros, and the list goes on. So that right there raises some big red flags to me, because they are working hand in hand with the United Nations and the Obama administration to get this one aspect of this 2030 agenda pushed through while everyone's worrying about Trump and Clinton.
Exactly right. The big boys are playing at the big table. All right. Soros being behind one of these types of shadowy groups should be no surprise to anyone in my audience by this point. But you also unearthed some interesting information about something called the Pew Charitable Trust. What is this wonderful benevolent organization?
Well, of course, they want to save the planet on the surface, and they make what their intent is. They make their intent sound like it's really great. You know, something like, how could you be against what they're doing? And to break it down, Pew Charitable Trusts basically is a massive group that's been lobbying tens of millions of dollars to sway and influence politics and legislation from the local level all the way up to international levels. And when you look into the background of the Pew Charitable Trusts, you see that the founder, Joseph N. Pugh, is the same Joseph N. Pugh that is the founder of the Sun Oil Company, which is now Sunoco.
I don't get it. An oligarch behind one of these environmental Save the World organizations? I never imagined it. No, of course I did know this, because I've been doing a lot of research on this topic recently in preparation for my Big Oil sequel. But let's try to break this down for people. Why is Big Oil interested in these UN General Assembly resolutions that can help to confiscate, essentially, parts and large sections of the world's surface?
Well, when it comes down to it, the way I see it, it comes down to power, control, money, greed. And you take things like this, the TPP, for example, which has secret tribunals, which is being overseen by the UN Security Council, I might add. This is another aspect. It all kind of ties together. Then you have the climate agenda. Then you have the sustainable development. And what they're doing, what it appears to they're doing, is they're setting up a massive monopoly over everything for that control of the resources. And the way I see it playing out is they're setting the stage and the framework to establish legally on paper through international law, global governance. So it'll give them the ability to regulate and tax any country, any person, any nation into obedience.
The agenda here is so large that it's difficult for most people to get their head around, because it really is about control of the planet itself, the entire planet and all of its resources. That is the ultimate end goal of this, and it's being done section by section, piece by piece, methodically so. And it's just difficult for people to understand this. And the first order of understanding, I think, as you say, is the monetary aspect of this. Obviously, there is unimaginable amounts of wealth to be gained from this monopolization of the planet's resources. The Ocean Biodiversity Treaty Resolution itself, as you've noted in your video, is to the tunes of trillions of dollars. Let's talk about the monetary aspect of this and the monetary incentive for these types of corporate foundations and other things to try to monopolize the planet's resources.
Sure. Well, Pew Charitable Trust, for example, if you look at some of their business partners in the past who they've worked with, it consists of the same type of Soros groups, Carnegie Foundations, and others, Ford Foundations. When they lobby tens of millions of dollars, they are able to turn that investment around and make hundreds of millions, if not trillions of dollars, by getting exclusivity to these resources and these areas. No-go zones. No one can go there and do their private exploration. They say specifically in this UN, this next phase of this UN agenda here, the 2030 agenda, that first they list all of, yes, we're going to protect, we're going to stop overfishing, and we're going to do all these great, wonderful things that sound reasonable, something that most reasonable people would endorse. But then at the very bottom there, they tuck in hydrocarbon exploration. And when you look into, okay, well, what's hydrocarbons? Well, hydrocarbons are found on Earth naturally occurring in crude oil. And that's where they are found in their largest capacity. And so then that starts to connect the dots for me when I see Pew Charitable Trusts lobbying to push for these no-go zones, because they're an oil company, they're a gas company.
Yes, and I note on that very note that the Pew Charitable Trust spokesperson, Elizabeth Wilson, is quoted as saying that although they want to set aside 30% of the world's oceans or whatever for preservation purposes, she says, direct quote, "although not completely no-take, no-use areas, i.e., yeah, we're going to monopolize what can and cannot be taken, and we're going to get our share out of there." So as I say, obviously there is a monetary incentive here, and quite an obvious one, but I think it's more important to get to the deeper level of this, because it's not just about the money, it is also, as you say, about the control. Tell us just briefly about Agenda 2030 and the agenda of control that it represents.
Well, as you stated earlier, James, the 2030 agenda is basically an expansion of the Agenda 21. And it is a far-reaching, far-encompassing globalization agenda. And everything from a global police force has been announced at the last UN General Assembly in Manhattan. Biometric identification on a global scale has been talked about, pushed by the UN, backed by the World Bank, sourced out to private contractors. But basically, what they're going after, they're going to use the main two focus points of the 2030 agenda is sustainable development and the climate action, which is being signed today into international law on Earth Day at UN headquarters, and this is going to solidify climate change as a real thing. And they're going to be able to implement global taxation and regulate and mitigate every aspect and portion of our lives. So I'm not here to argue whether the global warming is real or not. That's not the issue right now for this conversation here. The issue is they're going to use the fear and the threat of these crises to implement full total domination and control of every aspect of our lives.
Unfortunately so. And again, people can look at James Evan-Pilato and I covered this on New World Next Week last year when they initially rolled this out, and others like Truth Stream Media have done some good videos on the 2030 agenda and what it boils down to. But it has, of course, it's wrapped up in feel-good, wonderful rhetoric about feeding the world's, you know, poor and all that sort of stuff that, of course, everyone wants to do. But it's always the question of how do you go about doing that? And monopolization of the world's resources in the hands of the few select crony corporate foundations that are sponsoring this at the UN level is probably not the best way to do that. I think we can all agree. All right, a lot more detail and information in that video that I referred to earlier. So once again, I'll encourage people to go to your YouTube channel and to take a look at it. It's called UN 2030 Agenda Continues, the plan to take over half of the world with one move. So we'll leave that there for now. Spiro, I do appreciate your time. Thank you for putting this information together.
Thank you, James. I appreciate it.